Okay, so we're going to deal with a case which encompasses all the halachas that we've learned in the last few weeks. So it's going to be very enjoyable for me to see how well you know all what I've taught you and how you apply it. So, Leah sells shaitels, and she's living in Eretz Yisrael. Rachel wants to buy a shaitel from Leah, and she lives in America. They speak on the phone, they discuss what type of shaitel, what type of quality of hair that she wants. They see pictures of the expected item, and the order is made. Yes. And Rachel is living in America, orders from Leah the shaitel, and the cost of the shaitel she ordered is $1,500. It gets delivered. First, the payment is made by credit card.
$1,500?
Yes, $1,500. And the goods get delivered. Rachel opens up the goods and starts examining the items she's received. And she's a bit in doubt whether the hair quality is the quality which Leah actually claims it to be. So she takes it for a second opinion, where she lives in America, and the opinion comes out that in fact it's inferior quality, and the shaitel's not really worth $1,500.
It's not the same thing that was in the picture?
Same picture, but different quality hair.
Oh, she represented one quality.
Yes. And the price that's been suggested, the actual value of the item that she received, is in fact only worth $600 at maximum. So she phones up Leah. She says, a shaitel which is only worth $600. I want you to compensate me the difference. I don't mind taking it, just give me the difference. Leah is adamant that her shaitels are $1,500. You've got second opinions? I'm not interested in your second opinions. It's $1,500. So, back and forth, finally Leah says, you know what, I'm not interested in this. You don't like it? I don't want you to be upset. I don't want to have an argument. Send it back and I'll give you money back. Send it back and I'll give you money back. Okay. Leah is satisfied with, the Rachel is satisfied with that suggestion. And she chooses her friend to take it back to Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, no.
She gives it to her friend.
And her friend up until this point.
And in the course of the journey, it vanishes.
Our friend is the shaitel.
The friend is still around. The shaitel has vanished. How did it vanish? She left it in the airport.
JFK.
The airport.
Okay.
So now we're in Boston. All three parties. Rachel says, Leah says, Rachel says you have to give me my money back to Leah. Leah says, I give you money back, but I didn't get my shaitel back. So then Rachel says, that's okay. So then she makes her tevia against her friend. She said, look, you lost the shaitel, so therefore you have to pay.
Friend
has
only $600 shaitel.
And so now we have an old discussion. The friend says, for sure I have to pay. I admit, I have to pay. I was a shomer, and I was negligent, and I admit, that I have to pay. I lost the shaitel.
For 600.
But here's the but.
Wait, she was Shomachinim or Shomachinim?
Shomachinim, but she was negligent.
Not Aveda?
Nope. She left it in the. But, and here's the shaitel. We have a situation for Eric to just come in. We're going to reintroduce the case in a few seconds. The shaila is like this. Yes, I'm sure of the shaitel, but you gave me a shaitel, and even according to your words, Rocco, you said $600? I'll give you $600. Rocco said, fine, give me $600, I'll give it to Leah. Leah said, but you owe me $1,500. The shaitel I sold you was $1,500. I said, I'll give you money back if you give me the shaitel back. You didn't give me the shaitel back, so I'm not giving you money back. So now the question is, based on last week, we're going to first discuss one side of the shaitel between Rocco and Leah, and then we'll talk about the shliach. Yeah. The question is, what is the responsibility? Does Leah have to give back 1,500 to Rachel or not, based on what we learned? Now, you can all think about it. Why? I'll repeat the case to Eric. We have a case.
Eric, question: you're asking if Leah had not offered to refund it, would she be chayav anyway? That's the question you're asking.
Yeah, what's good?
What is the Leah offered her? Give me back 1,500. Let's say she didn't offer that. You're asking she's still fine. What are you asking?
She has to, when she gets to 600, she has to give back.
Oh, she only gets 600, then you have to pay 1,500.
Nah. You think about it, and I'll tell Eric the case. Leah sold the shaitel to Rocco. One American. Leah sold it for $1,500. She received $1,500. The shaitel arrived, and Rocco doubts the quality of hair. She gets it examined, and it comes out this is only worth $600 according to her opinion. There's an argument between Rocco and Leah, and the conclusion is send back the shaitel, then I'll reimburse all your money. You'll get $1,500 back. Give me back the shaitel. The shaitel sent with an agent of Rocco, the one in America, sends an agent with the shaitel, and the agent is absolutely negligent and loses it in the airport. They all come to Basin, and the agent puts up her hand and says, yes, I am responsible. How much? Rocco says, the shaitel that I was looking after, and she's the one who appointed me as agent, says it's only worth $600. So you have to pay $600. Rocco says, thank you very much, but there's an issue between me and Leah. Leah says it's worth $1,500. Now let's first discuss between Rocco and Leah. Who does Leah have to give back that $1,500 to Rocco or not?
No. It's a mashkon.
Why is it a mashkon?
Because she's holding on to the shaitel.
Who's holding on to the shaitel?
It was put into the hands. Why is that a question? If they agreed between them, you give me the shaitel, I'll give you $1,500. You should have to give the shaitel. So why is that happening?
Well, the question is like, let's go to the extreme. Let us say that we can prove that the shaitel was only worth $600.
Then, of course, she has to go back.
Is the sale a valid sale in the first place?
No.
Was the shaitel sale a valid sale in the first place?
No.
I sold you a shaitel supposed to be $1,500. I only received $600. What is it? What's that called? Called back up top. Now, what is now the relationship between the seller and the buyer, between Leah and Rocky? What is a back up top? What's the relationship over there?
Shomer?
No. What's the relationship now? It's a matter of toss. So now, the matter of toss. What's the relationship between Rocco and Leah? Jabal Kod. Who owes who money? Who owes who money?
Leah,
the seller, owes Rocco the money.
They know each other.
It's a matter of toss. That's the agreement they came to and said, look, and you're not going to be mashed than me, you're not going to, okay, if you're going to be mashed than me, then we're breaking the Mecca. We're actually nullifying the Mecca. As soon as you nullify the Mecca, who does the shaitel belong to now?
So the Shiva writes
the land.
Belongs to Leah, the seller. Who does the money that Leah is holding?
Rocco.
So what does it mean? Leah is holding money belongs to Rocco. What's that called? She owes money. She's a bar. She's a borrower.
Is Rachel allowed to demand, if everyone agrees to Mecca Tos, is Rachel allowed to just demand the 900 hours? Is it Mecca Tos? I'm keeping the shaitel, you keep my 600.
There's no agreement, and it's an absolute
Mecca Tos.
Then it's an automatic break of the agreement.
But you can't demand the 900.
She can demand it or not.
No, it's only if it's exactly a six she can use that.
What is exactly a six?
Yes.
More than a six.
Six is a bit of Mecca. Yes, unless there's an agreement. Yes. A new agreement. So therefore, Leia owes Rachel money, 600. Okay. And what's Rachel got in her hand?
The
shaitel. What's that called? What's Rachel's relationship to that shaitel now? Based on what we learned the last few weeks, what's Rachel's relationship to that shaitel?
It's actually both. It's a mashkin and a shomer.
It's a mashkin. It's a mashkin. It's a way to secure her death. You got something? Yes. They're called shikarim. Now, you give me back the shaitel, I'll give you back the money. What did we learn last week?
You don't have to give it back.
If you don't give back the shaitel, do you still give back the money or not?
Wait a minute. This is not a mashkon. Mashkon works in reverse.
No.
Mashkon is, you give me back my money, I'll give you back the shaitel. Here she's not making give me back the shaitel, depending on getting the money first. Adrash, she's giving back the shaitel first. This is not a mashkon. Not that the money is dependent, I'm not going to give you back the shaitel until you give me the money. I'm going to give you back the shaitel before you give me the money.
You're wrong. That was a great svara.
It's a wonderful svara, but there's a technical flaw.
We all opened our mouths like, wow.
There's a technical flaw because the instructions of Rachel to her shliach was, don't hand over that shaitel until you've got the money.
Ah, you left out that.
That's why it's a technical flaw. But I was testing your brilliance, and you were brilliant. What can I say? Now, so what's the halacha? If it's a mashkin, you owe me money, 1500. I got mashkin of 600. Okay, I lose the mashkin. Do we say, wow, you owe me 1500, and I owe you 600, so therefore, pay me that 900? Or do we say, you lose everything if you don't give me back the mashkin? What did we learn last week?
You lose the mashkin, you don't get anything.
Oh, you weren't here last week.
Right.
Wow,
right.
You lose the mashkin, you don't get anything. If you say it's a mashkin,
yes.
You lose the mashkin, you don't get anything.
So the Kiddush we learned last week, a wonderful bumble Kiddush, that we don't say, well, you owe me 600, and I owe you 900, so that, 1500, so pants it out, and therefore now I only owe you 900. We don't say that. If it's a mashkin, in halacha's mashkin, it's like Shmuel, that says, you owe me money, but I only have to pay that money, and you only have an obligation to give that money if you return the guarantee which I gave, which is given to you for that loan. If there's a guarantee that it comes back, then I have no responsibility to give you your money back at all. So now, we have a situation that who's lost out in respect to Rachel and Leah?
Rachel.
Leah keeps all the 1500s. And who's lost the 1500? Caused the shaitel disappeared?
Rachel.
Now we have Leah's out of the picture. Bye bye, Leah, go home. Now we're in the basin. And the basin turns out between Rachel and the shliach. Let's call her Sarah. Rachel Sarah, the agent who was negligent and lost that shaitel. Rachel said to her, you lost that shaitel, and that meant I lost $1,500. And there, Sarah, the agent, says,
What do you mean I owe you $1,500? You said you hold, you yourself hold the value of the shaitel which I was looking after was $600. If you hold the item which you gave me to look after, $600, I only owe you $600, not $1,500.
Perhaps she wouldn't have taken the shlichas on had she felt also that it was a value of $1,500.
Maybe, yes. So therefore, you can only claim $600. Yes, negative. $600, that's what you told. This is what you held, the value of the item which I was looking after. How can you claim $1,500? I'm very, very sad that you lost money. It's $600 which I damaged.
It's sort of like the check.
You made a deal. Why am I interested in the deal?
It's sort of like that check case. You have, the person loses the check, and that was a way to demand money, and it said, you lost the check, so now I'll give you a new check. In a way, that's what this Mashko was doing for her. It was basically a way to get the money.
Yeah, that's so, what every Mashko is, a way to get the money.
So by the check, we said, it's not really like cash. It's only instructions to the bank. And it's not a vadai, but here this really was a vadai. I mean, here
it's vadai cash of 600, not 1500.
But it's vadai entitles me to 1500, the trigger of
1500. So therefore, in respect to 600, it's real money, and in respect to the extra 900, it's like a check.
No, this is definitely going to happen. It's a vadai.
So? So what?
Check's not about that. The check's not about it. You don't mind the money in the account. You know, the balance.
She doesn't get the money. If she argues, she fights, she doesn't have the money, she loses the money. Also, in some way, the check. It's a check. It's a right to collect.
So it's a hybrid. It's like the hybrid of money and right to collect.
So how do you look at that case? You know? How do you look at it?
She must have been paid.
No, and she's getting even. 600 back. That's for sure she gets. She gets 600. Because she.
A friend agrees.
An agent who loses something and has to pay for it. If it's their negative, they were negative. They put up their hands and we were negative. Yeah, they have to pay the 600. Shiloh's on extra 900. Who takes that loss?
But wait a minute, there's something wrong here. She must have told her how much it's worth to her.
Who?
She said $900 to me.
You can buy what any normal person would pay for. Not by what you would.
No, but the open. He's right. The open market here is different. The open market. If you know someone's going to give you $1,500 in return for it,
nobody's going to give you $1,500.
If you know Leah's going to give you
$1,500, not going to give you $1,500. She's only going to give Rachel $1,500.
No, anyone who gives her back that
she will not give $1,500. Anyone that gives back that shape.
All her shares were $1,500. It's consistent.
So let us compare this Shiloh to the case of the Shulchador, and you tell me whether this is the same thing. Reuven Shol with Shimon's scythe. Reuven borrows a knife from Shimon. So Hoyelo Pamashkin. It wasn't really Shimon's knife. It was really Jazz and Mashkin Me'ovet Kochov from the Goy. It wasn't Shimon's knife. Really the Goy's. The Obdu and Reuven who borrowed that knife from Shimon lost it. The Shol the men of Mon Haber, Kamosha Shol men of and Shimon who lent him the knife says, you know what? Now that you lost that knife, which is just my mushroom, which I really lost the Goy, you lost a mushroom which belongs to somebody else, the Goy. The Goy wants now because you lost it. Three times the value of the actual item, so you have to pay me three times the value. The answer is, Kasi, nope, lo yishalem e'ele zemei shovi, the stam sa'fa alma, you only have to pay the value of the actual market value, of the actual knife which you lost. Is it the same as our case or not?
No.
let us read again the Shulchan Aruch with Akis. Reuven borrowed a shaitzel from Shimon. That really belongs to Leah. And Reuven lost that shaitzel. And Leah says, well, you lost that shaitzel. That means I can't get my money back from Leah. What says Rachel? The answer is that Reuven, who lost that shaitzel, doesn't have to pay what Rachel now has to pay to Leah because he lost it. Only has to pay the actual market value of the shaitzel. I've just changed the names and the sif to shaitzel, and it seems to be word for word what the scenario is.
There's several differences.
And the Shulchan says you don't have to pay, you only pay the market value.
First difference is it's a shoel, which would make it even worse. The level of plea of his ears is higher. On the other hand, Reuven has no relationship to the person that the mashkon is from. It's a completely unrelated case of borrowing, having nothing to do. And in our case, the shliach was very much involved with both the Rachel and with Leah. And I don't know if it makes a difference or not, but at least it's not the same case.
Okay, I don't understand. I understand you made a difference. I don't understand why that should make a difference.
I would say there are two differences. I can say.
So there's agreements. There's two differences.
The first difference is in this case, the guy who got the knife.
He doesn't know
what it's worth. And in our case, he's already told this is worth to the person a different amount of money. You know. Meirosh, that it's worth a certain amount of money to him. He's got no idea. That's number one. The second difference is, here is borrowed a simple item to use as it is. There he sent as a messenger to get back money. That's his whole purpose. It's a different case entirely.
I would say there's one major difference.
One major difference.
He's pulling up both of us.
Okay.
In this case, the guy is not within his rights asking for so much money.
Oh.
In our case, she's within her rights asking
for so much money. That is something worth repeating.
Only because we spoke more loudly.
Exactly. The relationship between the goy and Shimon, who gave Shimon that knife to look after as a mashkin, was that the boy's coming now, and he's not saying to Shimon and saying, well, you've lost my knife, therefore I don't give you back the money. That's not the case. The boy's saying, you lost my knife, yeah, I don't give you back the money. Yeah, $1,000 I borrowed, okay, I don't give back the money. You know what? I'm going to make you pay $10,000. Why? Because I'm a goy and I got another knife. That's why. Yes. Not because anything to do with halacha. I'm very upset, says the goy, and I'm going to make you pay 10 times the amount that you need to pay. Yes. So now he has to pay because he wants to stay alive. So he pays the goy. But he goes down to Reuven and says, well, you caused it! If you wouldn't have lost that knife, the boy wouldn't have made me pay 10,000! And that, the Shulchan Aruch says, sorry, Reuven, you don't have to pay the 10,000 over there. You don't have to pay that 10,000. Because the 10,000 was stolen! Just because the boy stole from the... Because it stole and because you did something that caused him to steal, doesn't mean you have to pay! Very different from our case, where the shaitzel, the reason why Rachel can't get her 15 back from Shimon from Leah is because halachically, if you don't give back the mashkin, you can't get your money back, which you lent. That's a halachic right. The shaitzel is a way of retrieving the money which you lent. If you can't give it back, then you don't get halachically your money back either in such a case. So therefore it's very different. Therefore it's rude to say that it doesn't apply the halacha of the knife over there. So what does apply? It says the Ksos of Chushin in our case, and this is the halakha lemaisa of the Pshat Beis Din. On this case, Lipia Astati Nira Tafila Bamashka Namida Havi Mazik Mamish. It's not Mazik Mamish. When somebody destroys or loses a somebody's mashkin, which is the ability to get back the debt, it's not Mazik, but Dinah Tagami, but it is Chayv Mishum Gami. Given to good mashkin, Elikum, and Mazik Shibuddha. It's like tearing up or burning his documents of debt, where the halacha is, you have to pay for that because of the concept of gami. Like you mentioned at the beginning, it's for sure damaging the person in such a case. So therefore, that base thing was that the shliach saw not only had to pay 600 for the value of the shaitel, but she had to also pay 900 on top of that, which the shaitel was also as a way of getting back the additional 900. It was a way of a mashkin to get back. When you damage a mashkin, you're chayev for not just the value of the mashkin, but all the results of what that now the mashkin goes to disappears. You're also chayev to pay for the resulting damage effects of that. You can't get your loan back.
Because it's
mazik. In such a way, they're shown official. That's the psaka in our first case. We have another three cases to do tonight. Let us move on.
Wait, so the conclusion again is the shliach.
So, the end of the day, Leah doesn't give any money back, she keeps her $1,500. She's happy. Rachel, she gets her $1,500 back because the Sora who lost the shaitel, who was her shomer, was chayav $600 for shmira negligence on the actual shaitel, and chayav $900 for damages of gami for Rocha now not be able to collect her whole money. Now let's move to our second. We've maybe mentioned this case before, but it's now very relevant to this halacha. Driving along a car, my car, Ruben's driving a car, and comes out into the middle of the road a dog. He doesn't want to hurt the dog, so he swerves and he smashes into a parked car. That parked car was not a car which was under the ownership of Shimon, which was damaged, but it was actually a car which Shimon was renting from the rental company.
The parked car.
Yeah, the parked car. So now Reuven, firstly, does he have to pay for damages to Shimon's car, for smashing up his car?
Of course.
He has to pay, even if he swerves, in order not to. He's in danger of being injured, and he swerves out of the way. He's also has to pay for that. So for sure, for saving the life of a dog, he has to also pay for the damage from the shimmers. But well, how much? That took damage to the car. Well, you can go down to his local mechanic, get it fixed for $2,000. Yeah? But because it's a rental car, the rule is you have to go to our mechanic. Our mechanic is not 2,000 shekels. Our mechanic is 10,000 shekels. Because what do? We don't fix it, we just replace it. Yeah, take this off, chuck it away, put a new door on. Shalom Yisrael. So does he have to pay $2,000 actual value damage? Or he has to pay the $10,000 which was the knock-on damage of breaking that door? Similar to our case, which we discussed, does he pay the $600 for the shaitel? Or he has to pay for $1,500 for even a knock-on damage over there?
Is
it going to be the same result?
Somebody said the actual damage in that case. In the 2000.
Okay. You say why?
But we said that you don't have, there's no, that halakhically, there's no chiyuv to get it, replace the part. If you could fix the part just as well without replacing it, then you're chiyuv to do it in the most affordable.
But we just added an element at the beginning of this year, yes? That you're not only chiyuv for the value of the actual item which you damaged, but you're in the case of the shaitu.
We did mazik.
We mean the gami, which we just learned, why you're chiyuv also for the knock-on damage.
That's more like the case of the guy who was sort of, it's an unusual situation. It's not a typical car being hit is not going to have the insurance.
Is it like the case of the guy when you only paid the $600, or is it like the case of the shaitel where you paid the $1,500? That's the question I'm asking you.
I'd say it's more like the guy's case.
Is there any way to compare it to the case of the shaitel?
Yeah,
it's absolutely compared to the case of the goy.
It's not like the case of the goy.
It's like the goy, the shaitel, no?
It's not like the goy. It's not like the goy. Especially if there's a third.
Why is it not like the goy?
Because there's an agreement, an accepted agreement, and it's something that's done in the market, and here's a guy getting angry and trying to kill you. It's not the same thing.
So it's not very good. In the case of the car, is the rental company stealing from the renter when he says you have to pay $10,000? Are they holding up a knife to him? They're stealing?
No, but it's still beyond what halakha would require to fix it.
No, why is it not? Because they signed an agreement. Yeah, it's my car. You want to rent it. These are the conditions of the agreement. So it's not stealing. So therefore, is it like the case of the shaitel then? You are causing a damage which the halakhically he's entitled to lose now, that's 10,000. So you've caused that. Is it the same or is it not the same as the shaitel? It's not like the goy, but is it like the shaitel?
Really?
You're all perplexed, but nothing to say.
To make it like this,
okay, let's carry on.
Well, the
signature
doesn't result from the good hadavah, results from an extraneous obligation the renter has to
the good
that it was something in the good for Mashka.
Yeah, he says it's not. It's the good for Mashka, and you only 600. It's only a knock-on. It's still Gami. Let us see Shulchanah. In Bo Echod, Rufus, the Shulchanah, Ma'acha, Chaberim. You've got someone riding on his horse, chasing his friend. Utaga Besusha Chaber. His horse bumps into the guy's horse. In those days, horses were cars. Baker Esesus, his horse damaged him. Chayv the Shalem, Kol Mash Shumat Basin Shenifor Machas Hakas. You have to pay the deterioration and value through that damage. Afilo Hoya Hasus Amilchashot Overkol Chobim, and even if the horse was belonging to really the boy which you damaged, the Sarkan is it suddenly overcome Yosef Masnitzimus, and now the boy is going to make you pay more because his horse is damaged. Oh, and therefore you who damaged this horse and now damaged Shimon, who's not, has to pay more to the boy. He doesn't have to pay more than the value went down in value, like the knife. Now, so far we've got no proof because there's the boy stealing again.
Yes.
Let us now see the talk on number 4. The same case, and he adds words. I want you to tell me what these words mean. Avin Aparit Shalakim, if it belongs to a goy, this horse, the Sorechan, Isik, the Shalakim, Yosef, a Mashalim, Sadomah, and because you damaged it, you now cause your friend to actually pay the goy more than the value of the damage. Then the halach is, Eina Mazik Chayev, the boy, he doesn't have to pay what the boy wants. Maybe Ma'avir Terech, just because the boy wants to steal from him, Bishul Zeh, Eina Chayev Zeh, Kivin Shlo Kivin, because you didn't have that intention. When you damage the the horse, she didn't have that intention. Now, what are the words which the Torah added, which we didn't have in the Shulchan Aruch? What did he add? Because he didn't have the intention. What does that imply? What does that imply? That the reason, if you damage a horse, which has been borrowed by it from a goy, and because of that, the goy is going to pay you 10 times the value of the horse, you don't have to pay, given to no given, because you didn't have that intention when you damaged. What does that imply? What's the implication?
If you had intention, it would be different.
If you did have intention.
Who has intention in
it? If you did have intention, then you would have to pay what the goy wants to steal. Says the Dogumarovama, who's the note of Yehuda, Masra Shim Kivim, Chayiv Lashalem, Koma Shiyala, Akimashum Dina Dagami. If you did have that intention, then you're going to be chayav to pay all the goy wants to steal from this guy. You also have to pay that loss because of gami, the same concept that the Ksos is talking about. What's that based on? What's the scenario? What does intention mean? What does the word intention mean that makes him pay for even what this goy is trying to steal?
You're doing a maisa purposely. Doing
damage.
Maybe knowing the repercussions.
Knowing the repercussions. Very good.
You won't know the car rental case.
Therefore, you're going to be hired to pay for things which are over and beyond the actual damage. If you know at the time when you damage that there's going to be these repercussions.
What are you saying about that?
There's a Rekiva Ego earlier that says the same thing and adds that you have to know the repercussions as well. Therefore, it comes out like this. You see a dog in the middle of the street. You don't want to bash into the dog because you're part of the Save the Dog Fund. So you want to save the dog so that you swerve the kavana into the car next to you who's parked, knowing full well that you're going to damage that car in order to save that poor animal in the streets.
Yeah? Only five,
therefore, that's called you intended to damage that car for good purposes in your mind. Yeah? Now, are you going to be hired to pay not only for the value of that sort of damage which you caused the car, but also for the value over and above that sort of damage? In this case, it would be for what the agreement which you made with the rental car.
Not five in America, but maybe in Israel you would be five. Because the car rental say Avis on the car.
No, so that you don't see that when you're doing that. You don't know maybe you're telling America to be their home place. But there are plenty of rental cars on the street. You have no right to assume it's not a rental car. It could be yes, it could be no. So you're aware there's a possibility there.
But fully aware of the repercussions, you can't say fully aware of the repercussions.
Probably not majority.
So therefore, the question which Payson will have to ask in that scenario is, were you aware at the time when you were planning to go into that car to save the dog, that that car was a rental car? If the answer is yes, then you're required to pay over and above the actual value of the damage you caused.
Could be
the answer is no, then you're only required to pay the value of the actual damage you caused. Let us quickly go on to case number 3. This is a shayla that comes up ever so often, and it's quite common shayla. There is something called a bodik. You know what a bodik is? A bodik not in kashrus of meat, but the bodik in kashrus of mezuzahs and tefillin. So you give the mezuzahs and tefillin kashrus to be checked. You see, the mezuzahs are kosher, the tefillin is kosher. Now, you give the tefillin over to be checked, and he checks them. But he was a bit negligent. Why? Because he wasn't only checking Reuben's tefillin, he was also checking Shimon's tefillin. And they were open at the same time. So what happens? Mixed up. And his luck, the one who wrote the tefillin for Reuven is the same sofer wrote the tefillin to Shimon, and you can't tell the difference between the two because it's the same sofer who wrote for both tefillin. Now, what's the problem with muddling up? Okay, so it's muddled up, and you still got four different passages in each one. So just put everyone gets whatever it is, and tell them there'll be multiple halachically. You can say, look, to Reuven, Shimon. It's the same in the end, it's the same sofa. What do you get if it was the one which you had in your tefillin? It could be the other one. So because you get the same quality tefillin. What's the problem with such a suggestion?
Why do you want the two? It's good.
Both of them all kosher, everything's good. Is there any problem with that suggestion? What Bozek wants to suggest,
it's
not maybe?
Great grandfather's tefillin, I don't want.
No, it's not great grandfather's tefillin.
It's unintentional stealing, isn't it?
No, we'll tell Reuven and say, this is what happened. Do you mind? Like, you may have ended up with Shimon's and a bit of Reuven's, a bit of Shimon's, but do you mind?
You don't need Kassidra on this one, do you?
Ah! Ooh! There's a halacha in the Hilchos tefillin. That it's tefillin or bosel if it's shlo kesidron. If it's
not like a mezuzah, right? It's different.
So what does it mean, shlo kesidron? That means if you write the fourth parsha before the third parsha, it's possible.
Really?
Yes.
Not just within a parsha?
No, just even between two parshas. Yes. So therefore, there's a halacha that there has to be kesidron. You can't write the fourth before the third and the second before the first. So therefore, if you suggest this, maybe Reuben's were written before Shimon's, or they were, one of them was written before the other, and you've got half of this and half of that, then both the tefillin are going to be end up being possible. So you can't make suggestions. So what's the halakha in such a case? You have to put everything in Geniza. There's nothing to do. No way of being able to decide in such a case.
The first partial.
The first partial, besides the first partial. Nothing to do besides the first question. So now the shayla is that Bozek Chayev will be mazik those parshas that all have to go into Geniza?
Is
a shomer?
It's only a shomer. All you do is shomer socha, the least is shomer socha.
So you're Chayev, I'll go around the table. Chayev.
I think Chayev.
Pater.
Pater.
Why?
I'm not going to ask you why you said what you said. Why did you say Pater? Luke?
Because that's a mistake he did. No, that was smart.
To guarantee that somebody would be right.
That's a mistake he did. Is not connected to an external halacha which makes them puzzle. In other words, there's a din on top of it. Nothing to do. Nothing not
okay.
Connected.
Okay. So why should that mean he's potter? He didn't cut the pasuk.
It's only grama. It's only grama. It's not garmi. It's not his actions that did. It's grama.
Why is it not garmi? Garmi, no, the grammar means maybe what you're doing won't cause the damage. Why is it not garmi that what you did for sure caused damage?
It could be that when he swapped them correctly.
No, but what's the halacha? Even if in the case of kutz, what's the halacha? Can you wear it to say block, or you have to put them in the geniza?
I suppose you have to put them
in the geniza. So therefore, there's no kutz. What you did for sure damaged it. So it shouldn't be grammar, it should be garmi. So why potter? So, there is halacha and choshen mishpat like this. And this time beats us out, so we won't be able to finish till the fourth case. But at least we've seen this. The Shulchan Aruch says like this. Hamazik eschaber hezek she'ein nika. Somebody who damaged somebody in a fashion where it doesn't seem like he's damaged, right? He's damaged him. For example, she'irav yai nesach b'yayna. You take yai nesach, which is Osa Bahanot, and you mix it with this Reuven's wine. Now, does it look like he's damaged it when you look at the bottle of wine? No, it looks like good wine. Minatera hu potter. halachically you're potter, because no one can see the action you did that actually caused anything. It's called hezek shein nika. Minatoru you're potter. Avohachomim kotsu l'shalim nezek sholim. But there's a knas which the Chazal said you have to pay in such a case, even though we can't distinguish there's a hezek in front of us. But since there is a damage at the end of the day, because he can't use it, it's all yain nesa, you have to pay. Kedin kol mazik. Ficha. Meisa mazik kotin shishilem. Ein kotin b'no akwa v'shalim. Since it's only a knas, if he dies, his children don't have to pay, because he's the one who damaged and not his children. The chain, and similarly, and this is the bottom line for us, im hu shogeg or onus, he's also potter. If he damages somebody by mistake, even with negligence, but by mistake, he's also potter, because it's a kenas. You only kenas people if they do it with intention to cause damage. I want your wine not to be used, I put yain nesa in it. I want your tefillin to be bottled, so I mix it up. Then we'll give you a kenas. But if you just negligently muddle it up, okay, you're silly for being negligent. But since minatoria, you can't chayv him because it's called nezik, hezik shein nika. You can't distinguish the actual hezik in front of us. So we're not going to machayv you mitzvah unless you did it with kavona. Only b'meizid we're going to machayv. And therefore, this botik will not have to pay, even though he's negligent.
But this is a shomer.
So we'll start next month to see whether that here may be different. Maybe that's when you have no relationship. But if I'm your shomer, maybe I should be worse off and actually have to be chayev even on hezek shein nika. But at the end of the day, this is what we call, everyone should understand what we learned from this case. When I muddled up your parshas, I don't see that at the end of the day there's any damage to actual parshas. Look very good like they did before. But I know halachically the apostle. So therefore, it can't be seen the damage, but there is a damage. That's called hezek shein nika, which is not chayev mitaraisa. You have to think, Ben Azmanim, why is it not chayev mitaraisa? That's the first question. And secondly, does that tour also apply to shomim in such a case? Have a very good, refreshing Ben Azmanim. Be strong and alert for Elozman in preparation for the Yom HaDin.
We're not meeting until Elo?
Elo. First week in Elo.
What's called the Elo Nicker?
Inside your stone is definitely Elo Nicker.
No, but if I poison,
that's what my
I poison you well. You it looks like.
Why are you water. Asking the yeah. same question I just asked you?
Yep.
Yep. Why is hezek shein nika potter?
Oh, I'm asking what is called in
nika.
You just saw the case why it's in nika.
Yes.
You look at the wine, and it looks the same good wine.